Well, this summer, I know you had just one service at 10 o'clock, and I listened to one of Pastor Stephanie's sermons from this summer. It was at the beginning of summer. It was 3 months ago, just as we're now entering into fall. We were just entering into summer at that point. That was on June 25th, and she delivered a sermon on the topic of summer. Summer. That makes sense, doesn't it? She talked about the spiritual meaning of summer. And she said it's a season of abundance, it's a season of growth, it's a season of rest, it's also a season of slowing down and casting off. All of that. And surely it is. She reminded us that heaven has been described biblically as summertime, citing the example of New Jerusalem in Revelation. And she asked about our own spiritual well-being at that point. And she said, are we spiritually in the summertime or are we in some other season? Are we in that time of growth and newness, rest, casting off? Or are we in some other time? All of our seasons represent transitions of some kind. Now, technically, today we're in fall or autumn season. It's a time of change. Think of the leaves. Don't think of this heat. This is very unusual. Transition and preparation for winter. That's what this season is about. But we certainly are in a time of transition and change, but spiritually I expect many of us have already moved into the dark and foreboding season of winter with good reason. I expect that many are grieving, and I grieve along with you. Pastor Stephanie, in my opinion, and I believe in yours, was a wonderful priest, leader, and friend. And she will be sorely missed in Oshawa Deanery. She, like the one we all try to follow, had a very short ministry, only 3 years. So it would be understandable if some of us are crying foul and saying it's simply unfair. Unfair. So that's what I'd like to speak to you about this morning, fairness. Now, some of you will recall the name of the singer Tina Turner. And if you do, you may recall her great hit, What's Love Got to Do with It? I would like to paraphrase that and say, what's fair got to do with it? And I'd like to begin with an ancient Jewish story. Once upon a time, there was a wise man who welcomed everyone to his home. They would sit and chat in front of the fire, and when it was time for the guests to leave, the wise man would give them a gift. A loaf of bread, a book, some change, something. And he gave it with a blessing. One day a beggar came to visit, and the wise man and the beggar sat in front of the fire and chatted. And when the beggar was about to leave, the wise man looked for some change, something to give him, and he couldn't find anything. Then he noticed on the table a ring, a beautiful ring belonging to his wife. He gave it to the beggar with a blessing. The beggar thanked the wise man and left. When the wife heard of what her husband had done, she complained bitterly. Well, she blew up. You gave away my ring? My good ring? Don't you know how valuable that ring is? It has diamonds and rubies and emeralds. I understand, said the wise man. He ran from the house as fast as he could. He ran to town in search of the beggar. He ran and ran, and at last he saw the beggar entering a jewelry store, presumably to sell the ring. Wait, wait, shouted the wise man. Wait, something terrible. Wait. What is it? Asked the beggar. The ring I gave you, it's very valuable. It has diamonds and emeralds and rubies. Oh, said the beggar. I just wanted of money, gasped the wise man. Make sure you get a good price for it when you sell it. and he went home. Now, was that fair? How would you feel if you were the wife? How would you feel if you were the beggar? How would you feel if you were the wise man? How would you feel if you were the early morning laborer in the vineyard, the story we heard just moments ago from Margaret, taken from Matthew's gospel? How would you feel if you were that laborer? The laborer who went to work at 5 in the afternoon, working just 1 hour, received the same wage as the one who arrived at 6 in the morning, worked all day, especially through the heat of the day, think of a day like this, and into the evening. Was he treated fairly? I remember this parable of the laborers in the vineyard coming up in the lectionary for a midweek Eucharist some time ago, and the format on that occasion was that we just discussed the readings. Well, this was a little more than a discussion, let me tell you. You see, most of us here this morning, and probably everybody at that midweek Eucharist, were raised with a strong work ethic and a great sense of what is morally and ethically fair. We're hearing more about that today than I can remember in decades. And we say what happened to those early morning laborers in the vineyard was not fair. In our view, wages are paid in accordance with time spent working. How is there any fairness in paying the same amount to the laborer who works 1 hour as to the one who works 12? How is there any fairness in that at all? As we have just celebrated the 20th anniversary, it seems appropriate to remind ourselves of what preaching professor Carol Noren said about the events of August and September of 1997, and you may know exactly what I'm going to talk about. She said millions of people around the world sat glued to their television sets watching the funerals of two very famous women. The first funeral was for Diana, Princess of Wales, who met an untimely death at the age of 36, a fatality in a car accident in which two other people also died. No one who watched the outpouring of grief in London will ever forget it. The tons of fresh flowers left outside Kensington and Buckingham Palaces, the makeshift shrines, the parade of celebrities at Westminster Abbey, and the poignant arrangement of white roses on the coffin, accompanied by a card with the simple inscription, "Mummy." And doesn't that have special resonance today with Harry being in town? The funeral service was billed as a unique service for a unique person, and it certainly was that. Elton John's song, "Candle in the Wind," and Earl Spencer's tribute to his sister contributed to the secular canonization of Diana. Most of the service suggested that Diana was a worthier candidate for heaven, if not sainthood, than the majority of the mourners. Diana's funeral. The funeral for Mother Teresa, who died only a few days later, was in stark contrast to the spectacle at Westminster Abbey. Prior to the Mass, the nun's body lay in state on a block of ice, of course, to prevent decay. It was not in a royal chapel. While religious and political leaders from around the globe praised Mother Teresa, and some actually attended the funeral, the service followed the prescribed order for a requiem mass rather than being specially designed for a much admired woman. There were prayers for her soul and petitions made to God to have mercy on her and receive her as his own. Nothing said or sung in the service made special claim on divine favor. The funeral reminded viewers and participants of the need of all humanity for God's grace. And now we're getting to the point. Two funerals for two famous women. Who was the more deserving of honor? Who was more deserving of God's favor? Who were the more deserving laborers in the vineyard? This story deals with a paradox, that is, the difference between human ideas of deserving versus divine compassion offered to all, knowing that no one really is deserving. Entitlement versus grace. The human tendency to demand God's justice when what really is needed is God's mercy. As the landowner said to the disgruntled and grumbling laborer, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" It's fair. You see, God's grace is like that. It is given freely where God wants to give it. Composer of Amazing Grace, John Newton, called God's grace amazing because it had saved an undeserving, slave-owning wretch like him. For those Christians who believe there will be an extra reward for those who have put in many years of faithful service, grace becomes a very offensive concept. And it is only human nature, even among Christians, to feel unfairly used when we see someone else getting more for what they do than we get for doing exactly the same thing. And I get that. I'm sure you do. When a newcomer to church gets the same voice in a meeting as someone who has been a strong supporter for 20 years, we may tend to bristle. I know I have. In Christ's example, payment was not made on the basis of work done, but on the recognition that everyone, had a need for enough money to provide bread for the day. Whether in baptism preparation, midweek or Sunday Eucharist, Bible studies, confirmation classes, or just general theological discussion, the point continues to be made that it doesn't seem fair that salvation is just as possible for the one who, on his deathbed, many examples of that in history, accepts Jesus as his personal Savior, as to the one who has been a strong and faithful disciple of Christ all her life. But what we receive by God's grace is not a question of fair, or deserving, or merited. What this odd story about laborers called to the vineyard at all hours of the day proclaims is the sovereign authority and freedom of God, whose justice and mercy cannot be measured according to human standards. The parable teaches that no one has a claim on God's choices and rewards, nor can anticipate or calculate the actions of God, who is, if nothing else, a God of surprises, a God of amazing grace, and a God who responds to all those who call upon him. Perhaps it is God's sovereignty, God's grace, and God's will that we need to keep in mind in the coming days and weeks as we deal with the pain of saying goodbye to a pastor, teacher, and friend whom we all deeply loved. May our God of amazing grace uphold us in our sorrow and help us to move forward to the next chapter in our parish's life, service, and community together. Now let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we enter into our spiritual season of autumn, help us not only to see the brilliance of color in your creation, but also to understand why we need to experience transition and change in order to continue to grow and thrive in our love for you and our love for one another. We pray that you will uphold us during this in-between time as we mourn what was and anticipate what lies ahead. Grant us rest, we pray, during this fallow time, that we may be prepared to continue our journey of faith in a generous, bountiful, and fruitful way in the next season. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.